time to talk some Oregon hoops, a little baseball sprinkled in. He's a fine beat writer for the Register Guard. Keep up in the sports pages online, registerguard.com, on Twitter. Steve Mims _ Register Guard. Steve Mims joins us. How are you today, sir?
I'm excellent. How are you, Steve?
All righty. You sound like you just are getting kidnapped and you're in the trunk of a car. Everything okay?
I'm good. It was I learned today it was National Pizza Day, so I just got back and picked up a bunch of slices and brought them home, and so I'm coming in through the garage, but I'll now make my way outdoors, and hopefully that gives you a better signal.
Yeah, that's better. I respect National Pizza Day with anybody, but like I said, I was worried about you. Is this one of those signals? Should we call 911 and track your cell? But I wanted to start with what you wrote, Steve, Wednesday, your Pac-12 notebook, because Washington State, they've lost not only six in a row, all by at least double digits, 32 to OSU last night. And you mentioned their new athletic director and the recent history. What would you say if somebody said, what do you think the status is of Coach Ernie Kent as far as what the future might hold?
I would think he gets next year, and they bring back 9 of 10 guys next year. They're top 10 scorers. I think he comes back next year, but I think the new guy is going to want to see at least a competitive Pac-12 season and a winning record that can at least get you into some sort of postseason. I mean, there was a talk it could happen this year that they're one of the two teams in the country to beat St. Mary's this year.
Right.
As crazy as it sounds, and but then since then they were 6-0, and so that puts them at 3-14 since. So I think Ernie's going to get a chance next year with the real veteran team to show that he can kind of get them together and, be a competitive Pac-12 team and a postseason team. And if it doesn't reach that, I'm guessing, Ernie was obviously hired by the guy who hired him here. I mean, that was he was as close to his AD as possible. And now when a new guy comes in, certainly that puts you on alert. I'd be surprised if Chun made a change right now, just knowing what's coming next year and the fact that he comes in the middle of the year and hasn't had kind of a long time to evaluate. But I think next year's the year that Ernie's either got to win or it's probably the end.
Yesterday, you previewed the Oregon-Washington game, and you talked about Mike Hopkins and the job he'd done getting them to the brink of the rankings. So while they got blown out here, overall, though, Mike Hopkins, his history, and regardless of last night, I mean, they've been as pleasant a surprise as anybody in this league.
They have been, and it's interesting. A lot of times you see, the key to that has been that they've got all these returning guys from last year, and it makes you, the only guy they lost was the number one pick in the NBA draft. It's like, all right, how did this team do last year when you had in the number one pick and everything they've got this year? So it certainly shows you that I think there was probably, it was kind of the Markelle Fultz show last year, and everybody else felt like they were kind of playing secondary, and Hopkins came in and has basically kind of turned it over to those guys, and a veteran kind of gotten it going. And at the beginning of the year, when they beat Kansas, it was sort of like, oh, that's a cute story, this and that, but as they went through the first half of Pac-12 play, they put themselves in position for the NCAA tournament, which it's weird to think. I think it's been 6 years. I mean, Romar didn't get there his last 5 years, I think it was, which is kind of crazy thing the way that program's been through this. So it's been a nice job. I mean, I think when Hopkins was hired, the thought was, you come in here and inherit a team, try to kind of get those guys to buy in and start building towards the future. I don't think anybody thought that was a job you were taking over after 2-16 in conference last year and getting to the tournament in year one.
Talk with Steve Mims of the Register Guard. The Stanford game last Saturday was just a disaster, as bad as we've seen under this coaching staff. And I think you were tweeting about Altman ready to bang his head on the scorer's table. what did he have to say after that about what went so wrong? And that, I guess, in essence, what they worked on and fixed a lot of before last night.
Yeah, I think his main points were basically, effort and competitiveness, and then once you fell behind, it was sort of, you got to the half and you were down 16, and then suddenly it was into 20 and it was gone. It wasn't like one of these where you can regroup at the half and at least kind of give yourself a chance. I mean, there haven't been many games that have just been, the second half has just been kind of, out of reach for Oregon through time. So he said, though, that he thought they came back and practiced well early, and we saw it last night, and I mean, that's a 60-point swing in 5 days. You go from a 35-point loss to a 25-point win, and the win came over the team that's higher ranked than the team you lost to. So it's a bizarre deal, and I thought, I'm kind of writing about this for Sunday. His point out the game last night was he told the team, who are you? Are you the team that lost by 35 or the team that won by 25 or something in between? I mean, you can if you play with the effort you played with last night, you can be that team. But if you don't, you're that team that's on Saturday. So it's sort of leaving it up to the guys with sort of their effort and attitude to figure out which of those two teams they are.
Well, I think I know fans would prefer which team they decided to be. when we learned about this class, particularly Troy Brown and Kenny Wooten, a five-star or four-star, you know, a lot of folks were excited, and they've had moments. But last night seemed like one of those games where I guess the coaches and people around the program had envisioned, because, man, as a tandem, they were dominant at times at both ends.
Yeah, I think a lot of people watched last night and thought, well, if that had been, you know, what you saw every night, there's probably three or four fewer losses on this team this year. But, you know, we've seen it certainly been inconsistent. I mean, Kenny Wooten had that great Fresno State game and really a great end of non-conference play. And then, you know, it just wasn't, you know, he started getting in foul trouble, and it felt like he got real kind of tentative because of that. And that kind of took him out of it until last night. And Troy Brown's just been, you know, again, it's been sort of tentative, it feels like. You know, his shot's been on sometimes, but then it hasn't. Last night he drove to the hoop quite a bit. Sometimes we haven't seen that, and it's just been sort of, you know, some freshmen figuring it out. But in this day and age, I think people look at stars and say, well, the five star is supposed to be the Marvin Bagley, the Trey Young. I mean, those guys are supposed to fit in right away. And I think you're just seeing a couple guys that are kind of figuring it out. It could be a pretty big deal if last night's a sign of things to come, you know, down the stretch and heading into the Pac-12 tournament. Could be a big deal, but we just haven't seen those guys string three, four, five of those games together. So we'll see if that happens, or if we come back to a position where, you know, Wooten picks up two fouls in right. 5 minutes and is out on Sunday.
Yeah, along those lines, you know, a few weeks back, that game last night didn't seem critical, but after Stanford, you know, I think Oregon dropped to about 90 in the RPI, and then it was the Huskies on the rise, and suddenly this was the opportunity to get a good win. So at best, I would call the victory a starting point, but if you're going to be optimistic, does at least keep them in the neighborhood of thinking about the at-large conversation?
It does. You know, I've said I think five, definitely six, but maybe even five wins gets you to that four spot. You know, 11-7 might get you fourth place in this conference, get you a first round bye, and then get you a favorable matchup where you could add a Pac-12 tournament win. And I'm not sure that the 22 wins may not get them in. You'd like to, you know, that definitely puts you on the bubble. But then the other side of that is, well, you know, five wins at this point, you're still looking at going to USC, to UCLA, hosting Arizona, to Washington. You know, other than the two Washington State games, the other five teams are all top 50 RPIs.
Yep.
So I think if they won five or six, they'd be in the mix. But again, at this point, can you say that you find a route to five or six wins on the schedule that remains, is the question.
Yeah, wiggle room has evaporated.
Absolutely.
Talk with Steve Mims of the Register Guard. I want to talk a little Oregon baseball. Season opens in a week. And I know you can't take step one without wondering who fills the shoes of their ace, David Peterson. Yet I'm hearing from the coach that he thinks they'll have maybe a more balanced staff, a little more depth. What could you tell us about some of the guys who might be in the mix to, you know, live up to all that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Matt Mercer's the guy that, you know, he had a good year last year. He comes in as, you know, a pro prospect, certainly, you know, a top five round type guy. You're right. I mean, Peterson last year was just so dominant. It just gave you Friday night. You knew you were getting in one earned run. And I think that'd be a little bit much to expect from Matt right now. And, you know, I haven't seen what their rotation's going to look like. I'm not sure they decided yet. They do have a couple guys back who've been there. They've got a couple relievers, Kenyon Jovan and Ryan Nelson, that they liked, who, you know, they were going to consider that spot, and some freshmen. So I think he likes the amount of options he has. You're not going to have, like I say, that Friday night guy that it would be quite a test to be able to put up what Peterson did last year. But I think they like Mercer and hope they can find, you know, the last 2 years as they've struggled, Sunday's been kind of a disaster for them. They haven't been able to find kind of that third guy, and I think that might be as much as anything right now. If you have Mercer at the top and you feel good about your third guy, that means your second guy's all right. But they've just kind of run through guys on those Sundays, and some guys are down 3 innings, and then you're in the bullpen. So I think they just like to have three guys they feel good about going into weekends. Now, they're not going to have the strength that number one is last year, but I think if they feel like if they can get two or three, then they'd be a little bit better than what they had last year.
And lastly, I saw you were with Joe Healy on the College Baseball podcast, and you hit on something that's always struck me. You know, you get to some of these major universities, coaches hit you with either a lot of secrecy or generic answers. So be it all the good or the struggles, pretty safe to say George Horton has been about as forthright and a straight shooter as you get to deal with.
He is, and that's great, you know, and I think it does him well. I mean, that's, in this college football, you know, you see a lot of coaches that want to do as little media as possible and want to, you know, put his, you know, he just kind of speak in cliches and kind of not get their names in the headlines. And I think George felt like, you know, when his job was on the line, he wanted to be there to defend himself, and I credit him for that. He wanted to kind of point out what he had done and what he thought, and, you know, he wasn't somebody, you know, he even took a call. I think it was he was at the College World Series, and I called him, and he took that and gave an update at that point and said, yeah, this is where we're at in negotiations. I think he feels like, and that's just kind of his personality, he's just a real open guy and feels like always felt like he's a pretty honest guy, and I think he wants his side of the story out there rather than sitting there and letting people kind of debate things around him.
No, I've found him always a real joy to deal with. Folks, Steve Mims, Register Guard, follow on Twitter. Always great information and insight. The handle at @SteveMims_RG. Thanks again, Stevie. I appreciate your time as always. You have a terrific weekend.
Sounds good. I'm going to go get that pizza, Steve.
Yeah, enjoy. Take it easy. You love it.